Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Happier Abroad podcast. I'm your host, Winston Wu. Today we're going to be talking to a forum member of ours. He goes by OTB on the forum, and his name is Kenny. And Kenny is a Black American who lives on the East Coast of America. Now, Kenny and I have talked for a number of times in the last year or two, and he's so down to earth and so insightful and has such good observations that I thought he would be a very good podcast interviewee. So I'm having him here today to talk to us about his observations about America and foreign women and his trips overseas, and I think this will be a very good one. How you doing today, Kenny?
I'm doing good, Winston. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, where are you from exactly?
I'm from New Jersey, South Jersey, about 15 minutes from Philly.
Okay. And what brought you to the Happier Abroad movement? I mean, how did you find my website?
Well, I was doing some research online about, I think about American women or the dating scene, because, you know, I was observing so many different things about, you know, American society, you know, just about the dating scene. And I got frustrated. You know, I got to the point where I got frustrated. And, you know, naturally, I just went online just to look up, you know, to see if, you know, maybe somebody had written about it, you know, written about the things that I was observing. And then I stumbled across your forum. And then I started reading the post, you know, that some of the members were, you know, were writing. And I said, wow, it's like these guys, they're seeing the same things that I see. You know, they made the same observations that I made. And, you know, I would read from time to time, I would read certain posts or go to certain categories and just to, you know, just to explore the forum and just, you know, see what it was all about. And, you know, and then I reached a point where I said, man, I got to become a member so I can put my thoughts and feelings out there and start connecting with some of the members and, you know, start discussing these things. And so, yeah, I think it was April or March of 2011. That's when I became a member. And, from that point, you know, I just started just putting my thoughts out there, all my observations, and I got a lot of good feedback from, you know, a lot of the forum members.
Yeah, I really like your posts. I mean, you're on our wavelength, and you know, you tell it like it is, and you're so down to earth, and so I really liked how authentic your posts were. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that regarding the article I wrote, the quadruple whammy, that you had something to add to that.
Yeah, I wanted to say it's not just, you know, women being unapproachable or women being picky. I think that another problem is that the quality of women has sunk so low that I feel as though to be with a woman today in America, you either have to conform or you have to settle. And I just have to be honest. That's just the way it is. I mean, I rarely see women who are of, you know, of quality anymore. You know, here and there, I may see a girl. Maybe let's say I may go into a supermarket, okay, or maybe you know, just being somewhere out in public. You know, here and there I do see girls that catch my eye, but a lot of them are just of such low quality. I mean, you see the way women carry themselves. It seems like everything is about being slutty or having a bunch of tattoos or, you know, not being feminine. You know, I rarely see women anymore, really wear dresses anymore. It's all about looking very slutty. You know, I see a lot of women wearing tights and, you know, I just don't see a lot of women just carrying themselves in a feminine manner anymore. It's all about looking sexy or slutty or looking hip. you know, with a bunch of tattoos on you, and you know, and it's just it makes them look very very common, you know, and of low quality. So you can, yeah, at the same time, you know, you're dealing with women who are very unapproachable, you know, and women who seem to be very picky. They only want a certain type of guy. But you're also dealing with women who are very just low class. And this makes it very difficult, you know, trying to meet somebody that you want to be with long term.
Yeah, it's not just their looks or their dress or their tattoos. I mean, it's their body language, the way they carry themselves, and, you know, the way they act is just not authentic. It's not wholesome. It's not real. It's like everyone's putting on an act.
Yes.
If there's no genuineness in it.
Yes. Yes, you said it. And I actually said, it's so funny you said that. I actually said this out loud while driving one day, just looking at people. And it's not that I was judging people, because that's the thing. People say, oh, you just need to stop judging people. And I'm not judging people. All I'm doing is simply expressing my observations, what my eyes see. And I actually said that while I was driving one day. I said it. I was like, you know what? It seems like everybody is acting. It just seems like that. It just seems like everybody's putting on an act. And, you know, and I guess, you know, I guess I pay attention to this more is because, like you said, you know, I'm very authentic, and, you know, and I'm not putting myself up. I'm a very humble guy. I'm not, you know, that's not me. I don't try to boast about myself, but I am authentic. And you're not the only one who said that. You know, people know me as being authentic. And so I make these observations is because that's what I don't see. I don't see authenticity in people, you know, and it makes me feel like I, you know, makes me feel like, you know, has always made me feel like I don't fit in with American culture. I've never fit in with American culture. And this is one of the reasons why, is because I don't find people to be authentic. People put on fronts. And, you know, this is what makes it very difficult.
Yeah, and you know what I hate the most is when people put on an act or put on a front, they call it confidence, you know, and it's like in America, they mix up arrogance and confidence and fakeness and confidence. It's like, you know, what kind of a confidence is that if you act arrogant and fake and are hard to connect with? I mean, that's been one of my pet peeves, you know. I mean, you know, to call arrogance confidence, I mean, it's just stupid, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I mean, when you know, you may walk into a store, okay, or, you know, just like I said, just seeing women just in various places, and they just, a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them, seem to have this attitude on them. You know, you can see it in their faces. You can see it in their body language. You can see it. I don't know. I don't know what it is that has made them think that being arrogant, standoffish, you know, is a sign of confidence. Because it's not. You know, it makes you look very, I don't know, it makes them come off looking very immature, you know, very, very immature. And, you know, because a woman of confidence, a woman who's comfortable with herself, and she, you know, she just, you know, she's very friendly, you know, you're going to be able to see that in her body language, but at the same time, you're going to be able to see that in her face, you know, her countenance. You know, you can tell when a person is friendly, you know, it just you can pick it up. And I know a lot of women that I see, even at work, okay, they just have this they just exude this, I don't know, this coldness, this attitude. And for example, Winston, this is not a bash against black women. This is just something that a woman said who works at the cafeteria at my job. These are her words. We talk from time to time. We always talk. And as I went up to pay for my stuff, she says this. She just says, usually she says, oh, how you doing? She always says, oh, how you doing, handsome? You know, and she's very friendly. So she says, the first thing she said to me was, oh, I know you're going to be with a white girl. And I said, she kind of just threw me off, like, when she said that. And I said, why do you say that? So she says, because these black women have nothing but attitude. And I said, wow. I was like, well, yeah, you know, you even see it. But like I said, this is not a bash against black women. You know, it's just that somebody else can see the same thing. But at the same time, it's not, like I said, it's not just black women. It's also whites. It's also Hispanic. You know, it's a lot of women that had that. And I just use that as an example that somebody else can also see that women walk around with attitudes. And so, you know, like I said, it's now, how would she know that? How would she know that? It's because she sees in their countenance, you know, in their body language, that they exude a more, angry vibe about them. And, you know, you can see it in the eyes. The eyes tell everything. The eyes tell everything, and you can see it. So, you know, I'd like to reiterate again, for all those listening to this, that this is not a bash against black women. It's to make a point that, you know, this is a woman who even saw that there are women who walk around with an angry countenance. And it's seen, it's blatant. Yeah. So
how can
it's not just them, but it's a lot of women who walk around with this attitude. And like I said, I don't know what it is. I think they've been duped into thinking that, being arrogant or not smiling shows that you're a confident woman. It's not, because a true woman who's comfortable with herself, you know, she's friendly and, you know, she's just down to earth. She's not gonna have that look. You know, she's not gonna exude that type of body language.
Yeah, and I was wondering how can, you know, a woman be confident, you know, or arrogant if she's paranoid and insecure like that of talking to strangers, you know?
Right.
A real confident
right.
person would be very comfortable with themselves and with talking to a stranger, you know? That's what a true confidence is, you know? Just acting standoffish and cold and thinking every guy is a creep is not confidence. That's paranoia. Mm-hmm. That's insecurity. That's negativity. And it's very toxic. It's very negative as well.
Thank you. It's very, very, very toxic, negative, very, very negative. And what man is going to want to approach you? You know, you being, you know, exuding that type of aura about yourself. What man in his right mind would want to approach you? You know, it's like, you know, I have someone like my buddy's father. You know, we talked about this subject many times. And he says, Ken, you know, you just have to, you know, just approach women. Just go out and approach them. Who cares if you get rejected? But the thing is, it's not about being rejected. It's about, you know, seeing women as, you know, to seeing women as being very cold, standoffish, very, you know, like they give off this vibe of don't bother me, you know, or they seem like they're just very arrogant. You know, and you can tell, you can pick up these things. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. I see. So it's not so much about being rejected. It's that I don't want to approach a woman who seems closed off. Now, this is what I said when me and my buddy, we were in Colombia this past May. We talked about a lot of these things. And so one of the things I said to him is that, you know, if for me to approach a girl, she has to look open, just like a store. And this is the analogy that I use. If a store is closed, it has a sign up that says closed. Do you approach it as though it's open? No, you don't approach it, because why? It's closed. The store is closed. So if a woman looks closed and she looks like she does not want to be bothered, she doesn't want anybody to talk to her or approach her, then I don't approach her. I don't waste my time. It would just be a total waste of time. So, like I said, you know, some people would give you that advice. Oh, so what? Just go and approach them anyway. No. If they give off the signs that they do not want to be bothered, what is the point of even approaching them? You know, so I look for women who are open to wanting to be approached. And how do I know that she's open to being approached? Okay, she smiles. She gives eye contact.
And she looks relaxed.
She looks relaxed. Yeah, you know, so that's that tells me, you know, that makes me feel relaxed. And then I feel more comfortable approaching her. And that's it. So
yeah, you never see that in America. You never see a woman that looks approachable. You know, they don't look close. They look very close off. Right?
Yep.
And
unless,
I mean, you see that more often abroad, that a woman is relaxed and open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just the body language. You can sort of feel it. You know, you kind of have an instinct. You can tell whether someone wants to be approached or not.
Yep.
Because people give off a certain vibe. And what I hate it is those girls that are closed off and cold, they think they have self-esteem and confidence, and these words are just so upside down in America. It's like everything is the wrong definition in America, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it makes meeting women very difficult, and this is one of the problems that, you know, one of the reasons why dating in the United States is so backwards, is so difficult.
It's a
trying to establish
experience.
A relationship.
It's a highly negative experience trying to.
Yes, very, 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 very negative. This is something that's so natural, you know, a guy meeting a woman, woman meeting a guy, you know. It's just so natural, you know. It's that's what it is. It's male, female, male and females, walking planet Earth. This is what it is. It's just male and female, and you know, man, you know, the human race has been, you know, around for how long? You know, thousands of years. Okay, and so we reached a point, you know, and. You know, we've reached the point where just meeting the opposite sex has become a problem. Meeting the opposite sex. We've been here for thousands of years. And now it's a problem just talking, even looking at a woman is seen as, you know, it's seen as something that should, you know, it's just, you should not do it at all. You don't, you just don't, you know, if you're in a store, you don't do that. It's something that is highly frowned upon, you know, looking at a woman for, you know, longer than 3 seconds, you know, because it seems it's considered creepy, you know, it's,
yeah, it's like a hostile attack on them if you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
so America's like a social war zone or something.
Yep. There's a stigma associated with that. You know, it's, you're not supposed. This is something that you're not supposed to do. When you're out in public, you're just supposed to do what you got to do, and you keep it moving. Don't look at women, because if you look at women, then you're going to make them feel uncomfortable. And it's just like, wow, you know, how could we be here for thousands of years, and then we get to a point where that is unnatural. It's unnatural to talk to women, you know, or talk to a total stranger. You know, or to give eye contact, or, you know, just, you know, maybe tell her that she's, you know, she looks nice, you know, this, like, that's the, you know, my, you know, that's why I say, you know, we, you know, been here for so long, and the human race has continued to, you know, has continued because, you know, we interact, spend time with the opposite sex, and that leads to a relationship, and then that leads to, you know, procreation, and, you know, but, I mean, my goodness, it's like, you know, I can't believe that, you know, it's male and female, this is all that's on planet Earth is male and female, and it's a problem trying to connect with the opposite sex. I don't get that. I that's why, you know, I stress it in that manner, because it's something that is so natural. It's something that's so natural, and but now it's a problem. This is a social problem.
Yeah,
this makes no sense.
Yeah, and people are in denial about it. I mean, nobody wants to talk about it the way it is. Like your friend said, you know, you can go out and approach women. I mean, you know, usually people who say that never approach women themselves. Like when people have said that to me, I say, well, let me see you approach women. And they always have an excuse why they can't, because deep down, instinctively, they know that it's creepy and they're not supposed to.
Right.
You know, it's just a cliche to say that. You know, and those people don't have any solutions. They just give all this baloney advice that doesn't work and is not even true. You know, like they say, oh, you can approach women, just do it. And, you know, but they won't do it because they know it's inappropriate. It's not, it's taboo to do that. Yet, you know, everyone is living in this delusion where they think they can approach women and nobody has a solution. They're just all living in denial and lies and nobody wants to address the truth. You know, it's just so bizarre. It's like a Twilight Zone or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, it's really sad because it should not be this way, Winston. It should not be this way. I mean, men desire to meet women and women desire to meet men, but there is something there that there's something there, and I think it's maybe, yeah, it is feminism, you know, vilifying men through movies, television shows, making men look like creeps, men are rapists, and all these things, and so, yeah, men are vilified, and you know, that's one reason, you know, that's one reason why it can be so difficult trying to meet women naturally. Got to throw that in there, naturally, because yeah, you can meet women, yeah, through friends and all that, and college or high school or online meeting, as I like to say. They say online dating, but it's really online meeting. And so this is the, you know, this is the way of meeting people, you know, this is, you know, and it's very unnatural, like online, you know, online dating sites. I mean, there are some advantages to that. I mean, you can read their profiles and see what they're into, and, you know, and, you know, you can make your pick based on that, you know, somebody that you feel as though you'd be compatible with based on what is in their profile. But, you know,
yeah, well, you know, you can meet women if you just join, you know, like hobbies or special interest groups, or, you know, like, or, you know, go to one of those meetup.com events, you know. But the thing is, even if you do meet women, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean that you can date them. They're still going to, you know, like get, you know, I mean, they may be, even if they're friendly, they're still going to say, oh, I have a boyfriend, or I'm not looking to date anyone. I'm working on myself. You know, there's always some excuse, you know, even in a friendly environment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad, but this is what you're dealing with, and this is why so many men are deciding just to go to other countries. You know, maybe just it's not even about sex. I mean, that's the thing, is that people like say, oh, well, you know, you just want to go over there because the women are easy. No, it's not all about sex. It's not about that. It's because, like I said, we are social beings, and we desire to connect with the opposite sex, okay? And if you're not getting that here, or if that's seen as taboo, or it's just it's not socially accepted to approach women, you know, give them, you know, compliments or whatever, just to get it started, then my goodness, then what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Okay, well, then you have online dating, but that's not natural. We want to meet in a natural way. You know, just being, you know, it feels good to be somewhere and seeing a woman, you know, checking you out. It feels good. It feels, everybody likes that. Everybody, like, I mean, there's, like I said, I mean, we've been here for how long? We've been here for thousands of years, and this is the way, that's the way a lot of people met, is, you know, just being natural. You know, yes, I know that there were arranged marriages, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that the people just met by, just naturally, you know, just meeting people in their village or in their town, you know, and just, you know, just naturally. That's it. That's all I can really, that's the only way I can really say, is that people have always connected naturally. And in, yeah, I mean, even if you have, you know, meeting through a friend or, you know, or maybe at work, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, it is, you know, it is nice to be able to just meet women in a natural manner, you know, to get eye contact from her, to, you know, maybe, you know, at a social event, you know, and you spark up a conversation with her, you know, and it just leads from there, you know, and like I said, I mean, online dating has only been around for how long? I mean, when did it start? When did online dating start? I mean, I guess maybe the late 90s, maybe. It hasn't even been around that long. So what were people doing before online dating? They were meeting in a natural way, you know, but, you know, I know with feminism and all that and men being vilified, there came a point in time where meeting naturally, it came to a halt, you know.
So, yeah, but online dating is not a solution in America because, you know, when you go on, you know, on a dating site that caters to Americans, I mean, hardly any women ever write back on those things either. I mean, you could send letters and get zero responses.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's not even a surefire way of meeting someone, you know, because you can be on these sites. I mean, I know from personal experience from, you know, sending messages to different girls, you know, I find to be attractive where I like their profile, and I didn't get anything. I got nothing. I mean, okay, Cupid, I would get nothing.
Yeah, so the women carry the same attitude, you know, in real life toward online dating too. I mean, it doesn't change anything. I mean, they still are very standoffish and very picky and you know, and very negative.
Yep, that's the way it is. Very, very, very picky. Just nothing. It just seems like I'm like, well, look. I mean, looking at my profile, I'm like, look, I have a good profile. You can see my pictures. I'm a decent looking guy. I mean, what would make you say, oh no, I can't send this guy. You know, I can't respond to him. You know, but you know, talking to my buddy's sister, she said, you know what, Ken? You know, I think it's because you don't match what's in their mind, and that's what it is. You know, it's just like I don't get it. You know, but. You know, I mean, I've joined a few dating sites, American dating sites, and I didn't get anything, but I seem to get more responses when I join Latin American Cupid, and from good looking Latin women. So I know from personal experience that, you know, joining a dating site is not. You know, it's not the best way of meeting women. It's just not.
In America, it is.
It is. Yeah, in America, it's not. You know, but, yeah, I mean, that's it, Winston.
When you go on Latin American Cupid and write the women there, it's like their attitude is so different. They're so much more enthusiastic and positive about getting to know you. And
yeah,
it's a whole world of difference.
Mm-hmm. It is, and you know, some, you know, a lot of them send me messages that, you know, I'm not attracted to, or they may have kids, or they're divorced. But I find some that, you know, that send me interest. They're good looking, you know, and a lot of them they'll send me, you know, but they'll respond to my messages. So, yeah, they have a more positive outlook on meeting men, you know, whereas here, you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, yeah, I guess it's men are vilified. They, you know. Maybe, yeah, like my buddy's sister said, you know, you just don't match, you know, what's in their mind. And, you know, I think white guys will do better. You know, I think white men do better in the States.
Well, slightly, but so, many white guys complain of the same thing, too. I mean,
yeah, they do. So I don't know. I don't know if it's an ego boost for them just to see how many messages they receive. You know, I don't know what it is. It's very confusing here. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is something that is just so natural, meeting a girl, you know, and a girl meeting guys. This is natural because it's only male and female. You know, it's sad that I have to break it down like that, but that's it's kind of like it's a no-brainer. Like, it's male and female, so why are there so many single men? Why, you know, there's a lot of single women, but, you know, I think a lot of women are just picky. a lot of women have been bad relationships, and now, you know, all men are pigs, and there's no good men, you know, because of their bad decisions in men. You know, now men are vilified, and, you know, and, you know, so they have, they're super skeptical about the men, you know, that they choose to be with, you know, or after all their bad relationships. You know, it's like, oh, well, is this another guy that's just going to use me? You know, so they're already coming into the next relationship in a negative state.
Yeah, so overall, it's in the final analysis, it's just a losing game. I mean, you're just wasting your time with women that are not friendly and don't want to meet you and have a bad attitude. And, you know, and there's definitely something messed up about it. But, you know, the more effort you put into it, the more you get nothing out of it. And it ultimately is just a waste of time, a waste of life. And it just feels like a futile losing game, you know. If you're going to play a game, whether it's dating or whatever, I mean, you know, you have to be on a level playing field where you have a decent chance of winning, you know. It's like, you know, the American dating game is like a game where you can't win or where you're not even allowed to play. So what's the point? It's, you know, that's the sad state of affairs.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is what we're dealing with.
Okay, so why don't just, you know, like, stop it there and then, you know, and then end with my last statement and just tack that on to the beginning or something.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, then I'll stop recording now. Yeah. So, what do you think is the problem with American dating culture? I mean, why is it so hard to find a good girl?
Oh man, there's so many different things that prevent men from meeting women. As you already know, we live in a culture that, for some reason, it's really abnormal, but it seems as though approaching women or just talking to women, just maybe just putting yourself out there, just giving signs of interest to women is kind of it's seen as it's weird. It's seen as being, I don't know. In some cases, it can be seen as being desperate, needy. So really, the only way of meeting women it comes down to is through friends. Maybe in high school, maybe you met somebody through in college. Because in this culture, like I said, it's approaching women or just putting yourself out there naturally and trying to meet women in a natural manner is frowned upon. You're not supposed to approach women in a store. You're not supposed to, it's almost as, in a lot of times it seems as though you're not even supposed to look at women. If you look at them too long, then that means that you're a pervert. That means that, you're being seen as desperate. And it's very, very unnatural. It's very unnatural, I believe this is, some of the problems that prevent people from connecting, for men. It definitely hinders them from finding a companion. And so it's a catch 22. It just makes it very, very difficult. A lot of men, they wind up becoming depressed. They wind up you see what's happening. These men are killing themselves. Like, what's this guy in over in Pennsylvania a few years back, George Sedini, because he went to the gym and just opened up fire, killing people because he felt as though he wasn't getting the attention that he felt as though he deserved. He just wasn't getting any attention. He felt like he didn't exist, and that is, that it's really sad. It's really sad because this is something that's so natural. Like I just met a girl on Plenty of Fish, and look, this is coming from a woman, Winston. This is coming from a woman. She said it. I've only talked to her twice, but she said it. She said that I don't see, well, she was first. She said she was like, they trying to find somebody is really difficult, and she says I don't see why it can't be boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they hang out. They like each other, they have a good time, and they continue to do that. She's like, I just don't see why it cannot be like that. And I told her, I said, I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way. I know it's very difficult trying to meet men. And I know it can be difficult for women, but for the most part, I think men have it, have a tougher time trying to meet women. And I have another friend, girl I mentioned, I went to college with her. She's Puerto Rican. We were just talking about this 2 weeks ago, and she said that meeting people in the United States is very, very difficult. And I said, I know. But I told her, this is one of the things I told her, Winston. I said, for women, yes, in some cases, yes, it can be difficult, but you're going to meet somebody a lot faster than a man meets a woman. And 'cause she met somebody. She met somebody not too long ago in a coffee shop, and make a long story short, that later on that day, she was listening to. He was with a group of people. Like they have a meetup for something. I think she said, they meet up after talking to him. They meet up at the coffee shop, I believe, once a week for different topics. And she happened to be there while they were talking about polygamy, and that was one of the topics that they were talking about. So they were talking about polygamy and all this. So, you know, she was just listening to it. But she said later on that day, she went home, and she's on OkCupid. And she, the guy, actually the guy that was in the guy she met, he, you know, that was in the group, she, you know, he told her, he said, he sent her a message and said, hey, he was like, oh, I saw you earlier in the coffee shop. So what a coincidence. They wound up, you know, he wound up seeing her on OkCupid, and boom, that's how they met. So what my point is that I told her, you're going to be able to meet somebody a lot faster. Women, that's just how it is. Women can meet men. Although there are some cases where women do have difficulties trying to meet men. But for the most part, women have it easier. So, with that said, men are suffering from depression. Men are killing themselves. You know, they're just going on killing sprees, you know. And there's another guy I just found out about not too long ago. This guy in California. Young guy, 22 years old. George, he's a young guy.
You mean Elliot Rodgers or someone else?
I would say Elliot Rodgers.
Yeah, he was the one, the young guy that did some mass school shooting or whatever.
Yeah, there you go, Elliot Rodgers. And so he said he was, you know, he was depressed because he didn't, you know, he didn't have a girlfriend, you know, and all these things. And so that tells you something, that people have to observe what's, you know, what's going on here. Why? What's going on? What's going on in this culture that is making people socially disconnect? And it's making, you know, it's leaving, you know, I mean, a lot of men, I mean, thousands, if not maybe millions of men, you know, single. You know, it's you have to look at that. You have to look at what is creating this. And I mean, there's a lot going on. Like I said, it's the approaching women. You know, you're not supposed to look at women too long, because if you do, then that means that, you know, XYZ, you're desperate or you're a pervert. You know, it makes them feel uncomfortable. You know, you're only supposed to meet women, you know, maybe through friends in college or high school. So like I said, it's a catch 22. I mean, it's like, well, what are you supposed to do if you can't meet in a more natural manner? And nobody wants to really talk about it.
It's one of those catch 22s where you have to, you know, already have a lot of friends or have a network, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to fit into America if you're really down to earth and genuine. You have mm-hmm. to put up a certain type of personality to fit in. And like you said, the social environment is kind of negative. Everyone is kind of afraid of other people. They think that everyone else is a creeper out there or something.
Mm-hmm.
So the women put up this defense.
Mm-hmm.
And do other guys, you know, do your other friends experience this too? I mean, or do they have an easier time meeting girls?
No, I mean, I only have two good friends. I mean, two best friends that I've been friends with them 20 years, and one is married. The other one's not, and the one that's not, he, you know, he'll kind of, you know, he'll meet girls here and there, but he's still single. He doesn't really have a hard time meeting women. He's Italian, and this is my personal, you know, not to go on a tangent, but this is my personal feelings. I feel that if you're white, or maybe if you're of European descent, you have an easier time meeting women. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, he's single. He agrees. We've talked about this topic many times, and you know, he feels as though meeting women here is difficult. I told him about my experience in Colombia back in May, and he even said it. He's like, here, you know, he said it's a guessing game, you know, so he gets it. But at the same time, here and there, he might, you know, he might meet a girl. He met a girl through my friend, you know, the one that's married. And long story with that, but it didn't go anywhere. But you know, I told him, I was like, man, you need to, you know, you need to see what's going on with her. But like I said, that's a long story, but it didn't go anywhere. But he had the chance to talk to her, and they met out. They went out one night. But it's really here and there is what I'm getting at. It's here and there. It's not all the time. So yes, it is difficult, for my buddy. He's still in the search. He's looking for a wife. My buddy that's forerunner, his name's Mike from California. He has a very difficult time trying to meet women. He puts himself out there. We talk about this all the time. He's putting himself out there. He's approaching women. You know, he goes to the gym. And this is what he says he gets. He says, you know, they'll act interested. Then they'll give him a fake phone number. They give him a fake phone number, or one of them gave him the right phone number. He called her. She didn't answer. And that was it. That's all I remember. He wound up giving her a call. She didn't answer. Then he saw her at the gym. And then she acted like she didn't even know him. So, and he actually said that when, you know, before he got her number, this is when they were leaving the gym. They were standing outside talking for a little bit. And then he asked her for a number. And then, like I said, he called her, no answer. Then he saw her a couple days later at the gym. She acted like she didn't even know him. So this is, you know, a case where, yes, I have a buddy who experiences this. He cannot find a girl. You know, he just can't connect with a girl. And, you know, and this is a good looking guy. You know, he's young, 23, he's a good looking guy. And, you know, and it's like, well, I don't understand why it's so hard to just get a girl and establish a relationship. You know, he even told me he was in the Pilates. Pilates room, and there was a girl in there. It was just him and another girl, and he just wanted to spark up a conversation with her. So what he did was, you know, he asked her for the time. And he said she was very, very, very short and cold. You know, she just said, oh, it's 2:45, and just walked away. And it was like, wow. It's like, so this is what you have to deal with. You have to deal with attitudes, you know, women being just extremely unapproachable. They act as though they don't want to be bothered. You have to, like one of the forum members, I think James Bond, he says, trying to understand American women is like trying to understand hieroglyphics, you know, and it really is. It's like, what else do you have to do to try to connect with a woman? You know, it's like, you know.
Well, I think it's harder than hieroglyphics, because at least hieroglyphics are consistent, and, you know, a lot of American women are just, they contradict themselves. You know, they say they want a nice guy, but they don't choose men that are nice. So,
right,
like,
exactly.
Everything contradicts, you know.
Yeah, that's so true. That's very true. And but, you know, on that note, you kind of have to be politically correct, because this is the one thing, Winston, that pisses me off about people. You know, you have to be politically correct, because if you don't, it comes from the mindset that you don't know all women. You don't know every single woman in the United States, so you can't make that call. And that's something that bothers me, because you hear men complaining about this on the East Coast. You hear men complaining about it in the Midwest. You hear men complaining about it on the West Coast. This is not all in our imagination. This is something that is clearly observable. You can see it. Just if you are, if you pay attention, you know, to what goes on around you, okay, and how people behave, you will clearly see that this is a pattern. And one guy actually put this on, I think it was Maddie Man. He was talking about the patterns, and I said, that is so true, brother. That is so, that's exactly where I'm coming from. And that's what I've been trying to explain to people, that it's all about the patterns. It's not, my point is that we're not saying that it's every single woman in the United States. We're not saying that, okay? What we're saying is that there is a clearly identifiable pattern in society that tells you that this is the way women operate. This is how they operate. You're not supposed to approach them, okay? They pick the worst of men to be with, and they're just very unapproachable, very, very unapproachable. But does that mean that they're all like that? Of course not. I can't we can't make that call because I don't know every single woman in the United States, and I would never say that because there are women out there that are approachable, okay? But I would say the great majority of them are not approachable.
Yeah, especially if they're attractive.
Say it again?
Especially if they're attractive, you know.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to get to next. Exactly.
Or even just decent, you know, like.
Exactly.
Just a normal, decent looking that's not overweight or unattractive, you know.
Exactly. Because you can, that's the thing. That's the thing, Winston. You can get, you know, you can, we can approach the ones that are not attractive. And most likely we'll get them. I could go out here and approach maybe a 5 black girl, you know, or 6, you know, white girl, 5 white girl, you know, chubby, you know, and I'll probably get her, you know, maybe if she she doesn't have to be chubby. I mean, maybe she's not really all that good. She may have an okay body, you know, but, you know, her face is really not all that great. You know, most likely I'll get her. So that's the thing. It's backwards. You know, we'll get the attention from the girls that we're not attracted to, but we can't from the girls that we are. And that's a problem. So,
Is it easier for you to find a black girl to date? I mean, are there nice black girls that like black guys? I mean...
Oh, sure. I I think that's one of the easiest, is getting a black girl. But my thing is, I'm not really, you know, I have exceptions with black women. And it's not just black women. There are exceptions with white women, you know. There are exceptions with Hispanic women. But overall, you know, if I were going to pick, you know, if I was going to pick somebody to be with, I would have to say it would be a black girl. Only because, I just don't. I don't think I fit very well with a black girl. I'm not really all that attracted to black women. And like I said, there are exceptions. It's not like this. It's for the great majority. But I do see black girls here and there, and I'm like, damn, she looks good. You know, or she may have a certain way about her, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I would take a shot with that, but it's here and there. It's really here and there. It's not all the time. So, that's how I am when it comes to black women. It has nothing to do with the skin, you know, because I think some people think, oh, well, you just don't like black women because they're dark skinned. No, if that were the case, then I wouldn't be interested in Dominican women because there's, you know, when I was in the Dominican Republic, I saw dark skinned women that were just drop dead gorgeous with like long jet black hair down their backs. Okay, these were black girls. Okay, and
yeah, I've seen their faces and they look sweeter too. The ones in Dominican Republic and also in Ethiopia, they just look a lot more feminine and more sweet and more kind and more wholesome.
Exactly.
But the thing I notice about black women, even in America, is that they tend to be very down to earth than the white women are. I mean, they're a lot more easygoing and real. They don't act fake or airheadish or snobby. I mean, they seem very easy to talk to, at least all the, you know, and that's not just true of black women, but of black people in general. That's been my experience. So I would imagine it's easy to meet them or to talk to them, at least in America. I don't date black women either, but they seem very down to earth and easy to talk to. What about white women though? I mean, aren't there some white women that have a fetish for black guys? I mean, do they like a certain type of black guy?
Like, yeah, they do.
A hipster or an athlete?
Yeah, there are white women who have a fetish for black guys. You'll find the ones that you'll find that like black guys are really the ones that are of lower quality. Sorry to say, can't be politically correct with that. You know, it's just the honest truth. I mean, you'll see. Like I said, there are patterns. There are exceptions, but for the most part, this is the pattern. Is that when you see a white girl with a black guy, she's usually fat. Or just common, very urban, ghetto. And that's just the way it is. So these are the types of white women that do flock to black men. Like I said, there are exceptions, but for the most part, I think this
is... But those type are not going to like guys like you, because you're really down to earth and very authentic, right? And I mean, those types probably like a certain type that
I get looks from white women, and the ones that are urban, ghetto. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I could pull them, but like I said, I mean, that's not my type. Yeah, that's not my type of white woman, you know? So that's why I said there are certain types of women, white women, that I can see myself being with. You know, there are exceptions. You know, it's not just all white women, because all white women just don't do it for me. It's a certain type of white woman.
And it's not just about physical attraction, too. I mean, you have to vibe with them. You know, you have to have some type of energetic connection. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, you know, there's no reason to go on. You know, it's just physical attraction, which doesn't, you know, last, you know, beyond a few meetings.
Yeah.
Have you had some relationships in the USA? And if so, what were they like?
I had one relationship with one white girl. For the most of my 20s, I had two relationships. One didn't really go all that far. This was back in 2012, a Dominican from Virginia. That didn't really go too far. That only lasted a couple months. Long story with that. She was down in Roanoke, Virginia, and she's in the country legally. So I said, just leave this alone. Nice girl. You know, we had a great time together. But that really didn't go too far. So I really can't say that was a relationship. But in my 20s, I dated a white girl, met her in college, and we dated for about 6 months. And I mean, we spent a lot of time together, had a great time together, but she was typical American white girl. And, like I said, at the same time, we had a great time together. I used to hang out with her, and you know, I used to go over her house, and she used to come to my house. We used to go to a shore together. We used to do different things together. And then she went back to Virginia Tech, for her last 2 years. And so she would ask, you know, she had me come, you know, had me come down, and said, she would tell me that, you know, the football team was playing, and, you know, so I would go down there and stay with her. And, you know, like I said, we just, you know, we had a good time, but at the same time, she wasn't marriage material, you know, no one that I could see myself being with long term. But I would say she had a typical mindset about a lot of things. And so it wound up ending, you know, because of she had a way about her that told me, you know what, you're going to have to end this. And she wound up, make a long story short, she wound up saying something when I went down to Virginia Tech. And I didn't like what she said, you know. I didn't like what she said. And, you know, I was just like, you know what? I think this needs to be it. And because, you know, I'm not going to have you talk to me like this. And that was it, you know. And that was, I think that was, when was that? I believe that was, like the fall of 2006. Yeah, fall of 2006. And that was it, you know, because I just, you know, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be with somebody, you know, who talks like this. And so scratched her off, and that was the end of that. So the bottom line is that she just wasn't right for me. She was a typical American girl, and I just said, you know what, this is one of the reasons why, you know, I haven't dated too many American girls. But prior to her, I dated an Egyptian, say it again.
That sounds exotic, an Egyptian girl.
Yeah, we met in high school, and she always had a thing for me, and we wound up dating. You know, we dated for a while, but the only thing was that you know, she was Muslim, and we couldn't hang out. We really couldn't hang out. So, you know, we could really only be together in school. And I even went to her house one day to talk to her mom to see if we could hang out. And, you know, and I was young. I was 18, you know. So, but I said, you know, I was like, no, you know what? I want to hang out with this girl. I want to spend time with her because I think we, you know, we're good for each other, you know. And so I took upon myself to go by her house one day to talk to her mom and about hanging out. And she said, oh, well, I have to talk to her father about this and so forth. But it wound up ending because I went off to college and it just wasn't going anywhere. We couldn't really do anything. But what I'm getting at is that that's how it was. I always, you know, it was always girls from other cultures. And I always clicked better with girls from other cultures. Even before her, I dated another Egyptian. And I know now I'm going all the way back to junior high. I mean, I dated a Filipino, but it's always I never dated a white girl, black girl, just, you know, just regular American girl. It was never that. It was always girls from other cultures. And I felt better. I feel better with women from other cultures.
Yeah, they're a lot more down to earth, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are. Now the girl that I dated after the white girl, she was, you know, she was Indian. So we had the whole, you know, the whole thing about her culture, you know, and all that. She's Hindu, and you know, her parents, you know, we used to hung out a lot, went over her house all the time. I met her in college too. And her parents loved me. They loved me. I mean, they used to invite me over. They used to invite me to different Indian events, you know, but it really couldn't go anywhere because, you know, because of the culture. And they desire to see her with an Indian, you know, preferably a Hindu Indian. And so that wasn't going to work. But what I'm getting at is that we had a good time. We had a good time. We spent a lot of time together. And I felt comfortable, you know, but she had American ways about her. She did. And I had to tell her this. I said, because her thing was, I don't like America. You know, I find the culture to be very cold. People don't know the names of their neighbors. And this is something that we had in common. Like, we could talk about this. I could talk about these things freely with her, you know. And she understood because, I mean, she felt the same way. But at the same time, I think that, you know, she had, you know, certain American ways had rubbed off on her. And so, you know, it was, you know, something that, you know, brought the demise of the relationship, because it just like I told her, I had to tell her, you know, a few times, like, you know, you're thinking, yes, you are Indian, and you may watch Indian television, and, you know, you may go to Indian events, and you may not like the United States, but I think that you've been bitten by the bug, you know, the American bug, and you just have certain ways about you that just says that you are now Americanized. And so, you know.
Yeah, it seems like American culture corrupts people very fast, especially females. There's something about it that just
corrupts
people
yes.
and turns their personality rotten and arrogant.
Yes. She had, and that's one of the things I didn't like about her. She did have this rotten attitude about certain things. I didn't like it. I did not like it. And, you know, she just, it's a long story with her, but, you know, she used to start arguments with me and this and that, and, you know, she just had this attitude.
How long did you live in America?
She's been here, she came here in 98.
Well, that's a pretty long time. I mean, I heard, you know, if someone's here even for a year or two, they get corrupted quickly, and they start becoming more impatient too, and their vibe just changes because they're not relaxed. You know, it's like they are kind of like antsy and just not very stable or down to earth anymore. So even if you find a girl in America, I mean, they're very hard to get along with, and so it's not easy to make it last because there's not very, it's hard to find anyone that's of any good quality in America. You know, everyone just seems so spoiled, so self-centered, so rotten. You know, it's like they have all these toxic personality traits. Mm-hmm. And so even if you can find a girl here, I mean, it's hard to maintain it or get along because people just have such a negative, toxic personality.
Yep, exactly.
And so it's like you can't win, you know. And I guess you can find some foreign women to talk to sometimes, you know, but, you know, most of them are not single. And if they are, they probably have some other hang-up, like their parents, or they're too young, or or they're not looking right now. You know, it's always something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many obstacles. And
so, yeah.
Anyways, you mentioned that you went overseas recently. I mean, where did you go, and what was that like?
I went to Colombia back in May, and I went with Forerunner, a.k.a. Mike. And
he's a forum member, right?
Yeah, he's a forum member, yeah. And the experience was, it was amazing, Winston. It was my second time. And the experience we had was just, we just had so much fun. And we had a lot of deep conversations from, you know, all the cities that we went to, you know, on the bus and, you know, just walking around the city. You know, we had, I mean, some really good conversations, you know. Also with the with the Gato Negro, yeah, we were, you know, that's a wine over there. It's a Chilean wine. But, yeah, we had a lot of good discussions, you know, over wine and, you know, and it was amazing. You know, I was you know, so happy, you know, that we had a chance to team up and do that.
What was the culture like and the women like, I mean?
The culture, to sum up Colombian culture is very warm. Everybody is very, very warm, very friendly. You know, they're curious, you know, to know where you're from. Very, you know, just very talkative, you know. So, you know, and I think for like, I don't know, like 5 years straight, something like that, Colombia was rated as the happiest country in the world. And if you go have the chance to go to Colombia, you'll see this. You know, people are very warm. You don't see angry people. You know, I don't even remember seeing any angry people. Ever, wherever I went, we went because we were in Bogota, then we went to Cali, then we went to Medellin, and then we went to Cartagena. And you don't see angry people. You just don't see that. And so, you know, all the people you talk to, they're extremely friendly, very warm. Even at the hostel that we stayed at in Bogota, you know, my first day there, the girl working there, she was very friendly, you know, and she was giving me hugs. And, you know, I remember, you know, waking up in the morning to, you know, to go to the bathroom, and she saw me and she put her arm, you know, she opened up her arms and gave me a big hug. And I was like, wow, it just makes you feel good. You know, it really made me feel good. This is what, you know, this is what I like. I like friendly people, you know, and it didn't matter that she didn't know me, you know, that she hadn't known me for that long. It was just like, you know, she felt my energy, you know, because, you know, the first day I was there, we were talking, she got a sense of, you know, a sense of my personality. And she, you know, and you know, it made her just open up. It just made her, you know, just be her, you know, be herself. And so, you know, that just led to just hanging out at the hostel, just talking about different things. And, you know, and she was kind of flirting with me. And but like I said, you know, I got up that morning, she opened up her arms, gave me a hug. And, you know, it was just, I really liked that. And so, like I said, to sum up Colombian culture, that's what you get. You're getting a country where the people are very, very warm, approachable, helpful, just very friendly, you know. We even tried, you know, like as an experiment, while we were in Bogota, we wanted to just go up to random women to see their reaction, you know, see how they would react to us asking them to take pictures of us. So we, you know, we were just looking around, just trying to find girls that were, you know, that were alone. And we just go up to them and ask them to take a picture of us. So, you know, we remember one girl, she was kind of nervous, but after she took the picture, She walked away with the biggest smile, on her. And, you know, we asked three other girls, and, you know, they took the picture, and they're just very, very approachable, you know, and it felt good. So, you know, in terms of the people, you know, the culture, that's what it's like, you know. And I know Colombia has some, you know, has a bad reputation, has some stigma associated with it, that it's a really dangerous place. Like I said, I've been there twice, okay? And there's nothing about Colombia that tells me that this is a dangerous country. It's the complete opposite. So, you know, all those who want to go to Colombia, you know, whoever, you know, listens to this podcast, you know, I recommend Colombia. It's not a dangerous country. You know, of course, it probably has its bad areas. Just like, look at us. Look at the United States. It has its bad areas. You know, look at all the things that are happening here. You know, I don't see why we don't have that reputation. But
yeah, it seems like even in Mexico or someplace with a high crime rate, as long as you just exercise common sense, that you're usually okay, right?
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. Use your common sense. I mean, don't go wandering into, areas where it doesn't look safe, or, you know, it seems like, it seems threatening. You know, just use your common sense. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And if you do that, I believe you'll be okay. You'll be fine. I mean, look, we were in Medellin, and there were some sketchy areas, you know, seemed like there was some bums out there, you know, bums, drug addicts, just standing out there along the walls, you know, sitting on cardboard boxes, and, you know, they were dirty, you know, but I didn't feel like my life was, you know, was threatened. It was just, you know, these are just people who are less fortunate. That's it. You know, I didn't fear that somebody was going to pull a knife out on me or put a gun up to
my head. Anyone try to scam you or overcharge you or anything? Or
no, no, nope, none of that. We had a problem at the hostel in Bogota, and she overcharged me. And then, yeah, in that case, yes, but I got out of it. And she gave me my money back, because I don't know why she was confused about it, but I told her, I was like, you owe me, I think it was like $8. And so that was really the only case. It was because when I initially got there, I was overcharged for the room. And it was as though, because Mike, we did it together, I booked it, but I booked it for two. So when I got there, a day before him, and so I was charged, you know, as though I was paying for two people. And so, you know, like I had to talk to the girl, you know, who did it, and actually it was another girl working there, and I had to go back and tell her that, you know, I was overcharged, and she was kind of confused about it. And I was like, I don't know what you're confused about. I was overcharged. So make a long story short, you know, I explained it to her. I even had to write some things down. I was explaining it to her in Spanish, and then it finally clicked, and she gave me my money back. But other than that, no, I didn't. There was no one that tried to scam me or overcharge me. No.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, what about the language? I mean, do you speak Spanish, and do they speak English there?
Yeah, you'll find some people that speak English, but yeah, I speak Spanish, so I was fine. So, yeah, had no problems with that. And Mike, he speaks Spanish. Actually, his mom is a Spanish descent. Her parents are from Spain, and so, you know, he speaks Spanish with his grandfather, he says, from time to time. And so he understands, you know, when he understands Spanish. He speaks it, you know, not fluently, but he does, you know, he speaks it, you know. And he even met a girl in Medellin. And he was, you know, talking to her, and he talked to her for about 10 minutes, you know, so he has a decent level in Spanish, and he understands it. So we were both okay. We were both fine.
What about the signs and the road signs? Are they in English or all in Spanish? Or
the road signs?
Yeah, or the building signs or the street signs?
Yeah, they're all in Spanish, but I think, like, bathrooms, I'm trying to think here. If I saw any, I think here. No, even the bathrooms, like when we went to the bus stations, no, they were all in Spanish. Yeah, I can't remember if any signs were in English also, but yeah, for the most part, they're all in Spanish. I mean, of course, like I think at the airport, I think it's in Spanish and English. Yeah, in the outside of the airport, it's all Spanish. Yeah,
well, you know, I found that language is not as big of a barrier as people make it out to be, because when I first went to Russia, I mean, I only knew a few words. I only knew hi, how are you, and two practical words, which is where, and the other one was how much. And with just that, I was able to get around just fine, because a lot of communication is just body language and figuring out the context of the situation and the context of the meaning. And, if you put some effort into it, you can figure out what the other person is trying to say or get your point across, even if you just know a few words. And I found that to be easier than what people think. So I was able to do most things just on two words, which is where, and the other one was how much. And I was able to get tickets in Russia, to buy food, to buy bus tickets, train tickets, ask directions just on those two words, where and how much. So it's a lot easier than people think. The language is not that much of a barrier. So I don't think it should be feared as much.
No, it shouldn't. I went to Turkey 2012, and it wasn't a problem. I mean, I met people who spoke English. It was not a problem. I don't think that should be something that should.
Yeah, so how did you meet?
Traveling, or. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Are you still there?
Yeah,
okay, I think our connection dropped a little bit. But so how did you meet the girls there? I mean, did they just talk to you, or did you talk to them on the internet, or?
Uh-huh. Well, I tried to hook up with a couple girls before I went. I sent them messages on LAC, Latin American Cupid. And great. She was like, that sounds good. She was like, I would love to show you around, around my city. But, that was the end of it. But so when I got there, that's when the party really started. When we were in Cali, before Cali, let me see here, in Bogota, let's just say this. I'll start here. In Bogota, we both observed this, that we really didn't, I'm trying to think here. Besides the girls that we asked to take pictures of us, we didn't really talk to too many girls, but these are the observations that we made about the women in Colombia in general. Okay. The women are very approachable. They are very approachable. Looking into the eyes, this is something I said to Mike. I said, when you look into their eyes, okay, because and I'll use this as an example. I'll use Bogota as an example. We were just walking around, we just went different places in Bogota. We're just walking around and going different places, going to eat, And one of the things that we observed is that the women, when you look into their eyes, okay, they have this look in their eyes that says, I want you to approach me. It's a softness. There's a softness in their eyes. If you compare their look to the women here in the United States, you'll immediately see that in their eyes there's more of a humbleness and a softness in the way they look at you, and it sends the message that yes, I just want you to come over here and say something to me. And when I made this observation, Mike said, yeah, he was like, it does seem like that. They make a lot of eye contact. That's something else. They do make a lot of eye contact. He even saw it. He saw it immediately. Say it again?
That makes it so easy, doesn't it?
It makes it so easy, Winston.
And
it makes you feel like you're a human being. It makes you feel good. It does. It makes you feel so good, you know. And it's like, wow, you know, just a day ago, I was back in my country, and I couldn't even get as much as even a smile, you know. I couldn't get anything, no eye contact. I couldn't get anything. But you know, here I am in another culture, and I'm walking the streets, and women are looking at me, and they're, you know, making long eye contact, basically saying, yes, I'm checking you out. And so, like I said, Mike immediately saw this. He saw that the women, they, you know, they made eye contact. And, you know, it was wherever we went, you know. And I know when we were walking around Bogota, you know, we had a lot of girls, you know, checking us out, you know. And it felt really good, you know. And it made you feel as though you could just go right up to them and start talking. And so from there, you know, from Bogota, we moved to Cali, and we saw the same thing in Cali. Actually, I was approached by a girl in a store. Her coworker approached me for her, and I was like, man, of all the times I've been in this store, she comes, she, you know, I'm being approached, you know, to go out, you know, the day that I'm leaving, because we only went to the store to get some food, you know, for a bus ride to Medellin. So, you know, her coworker approached me, and this was a good looking girl, Winston. Oh my goodness, she was nice. She looked about maybe 23. Had a body on her, nice legs. She was wearing these brown tights, wearing flip flops. You know, she was just nice from head to toe. Nice plain face, no makeup, beautiful eyes, nice dark brown hair. She was just nice. And we were standing in the aisle, you know, getting some food, and I looked over, and she made this hard, you know, this long eye contact with me. And I told Mike, you know, she looked at me, and then she looked at Mike, and then she looked away and started playing with her hair. So that was the cue. I knew right there she was into one of us. So so I go to, you know, we go up to pay for stuff, and her coworker comes over to me and says, she's like, hi. She's like, yeah, my friend over there wants to know, would you like to go out for whiskey? And I said, I was like, oh, you know what? I said, you know, I appreciate you, you know, asking me, you know, but I said, we're getting ready to go to Medellin. So before we left, I waved the girl down. I waved her because she was shy. So I told her to come over, and I introduced myself to her, and you know, I asked her her name, and she was a little nervous. So her friend, the girl that approached me for her name was Catalina. Catalina, she kind of tapped her on her arm to, you know, so she could snap out of it so she could tell me her name, because the girl was really, she was just looking at me like, God, you know, just like, you know, you're just so handsome, you know. So it was a good feeling. But anyway, so, you know, she told me her name was Joanna. So I told her, I said, you know, I appreciate you asking me to go out. I said, but we're getting ready to go to Medellin. And we chatted for a couple minutes, and it's, you know, and then I told her, I was like, look, it was nice meeting you. You know, it's nice meeting you, Catalina. And that was the end, you know, that was it. So, but what I'm getting at, Winston, is that, you know, like, wow, it was an experience. You know, a girl approached, you know, somebody, you know, they approached me. And she, you know, they, like I said, she said whiskey, but then she wanted to go out. She wanted to go out salsa dance. It was on the second floor of the store. So you see how natural that was. You know, if we were to hook up and go out for salsa dancing and whiskey, we would have had a great time. You know, we would have danced, and, you know, I'm not into whiskey, but, you know, I guess maybe I would have just drank it just to have a good time, and, you know, we would have been very relaxed. And before you know it, who knows? It probably would have turned into something, because this girl was good looking, and she seemed very reserved. And I would have jumped on that, definitely. So,
yeah, it's like when you're overseas, you have so many opportunities that you start to have to turn them down, even.
Yeah, I mean,
for everyone.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, it wasn't like that in my case. That was just one, you know, where, you know, I was approached. But a lot of the cities that all the cities we went to, we were just getting a lot of attention. And I think the thing is that it's not so much because we're foreigners, because that's something that a cliche remark that a lot of people say, oh, well, they only want you because you're a foreigner. Well, no, they don't want us because we're foreigners, because actually we, you know, Mike and I, we have more of a, we like to call it a universal look, you know. So when I was in, you know, while there, a lot of the people thought that I was Latino. They thought I was playing pool with one guy in the hostel in Bogota. He thought I was Colombian, and I had, you know, but he couldn't tell, because, you know, I speak Spanish, and when I speak Spanish, it's more like from the coast, like more Dominican, I'd say. But you know, he didn't know. And so, the girl that was working there, she's like, no, he's American. He's like, oh, I just thought you were Colombian, but from another region. It's because of my look. You know, it's my look. You know, I can pass for it. You know, I can blend in. And then also with Mike, I mean, his father is Lebanese. And so some of the people that he met, they thought he was Italian. Some people, when we were in Medellin, there was a couple. The guy was drunk, but he was really nice, though. He was really nice, and his wife was very nice. And they just stopped and started talking to us. His wife thought he was French. So, you know, and so, I mean, it's not so much. Yeah, I mean, they knew that. And I think I think in another part, another city that we were in, they thought that he was. Yeah, they thought he was Latino. It has nothing to do with us being foreigners. You know, I think it was more about it's, I think it's something that people can see in your, you know, just in your body language. There's something about you that projects a warmth about you. You know, you just seem to be, approachable. Cause this even happened to me when I was in Spain. You know, I got approached by certain people, and I think it's something that something that people can see in you, maybe in your eyes, your body language, and they just see you as approachable. They see you as being easy to talk to, and we got that wherever we went. So I think with the girl in the store, I think when she, you know, she looked at me, it was something about my aura, my body language, in my eyes that said, you know, well, I'll take a chance with this guy. I think he might be a nice guy. I think he might be friendly. I think he might be easy to connect with. And that's what happened. I don't think it's so much, oh, well, he looks like a foreigner, because she asked me, she said she wanted to go salsa dancing. How does she know? I mean, how does she know, you know, I knew how to salsa dance, you know, how does she know, you know, how, you know, it was just like, you know, I'd like to go salsa dance. So I think she thought I was Latino. And so that's the thing. It's not so much, oh, well, you know, they just want you because, you know, you're foreigner, because it's just cliche, you know.
Yeah, but it is. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure being a foreigner is a factor. There's a novelty factor, too. But, you know, what people don't understand is that these women overseas are just naturally friendly. You know, they enjoy meeting guys, and they have a positive view of social interaction and of talking to guys and getting to know them. And it's a positive experience. That's what people don't understand. And they don't understand that that's the way it's supposed to be, you know, paranoid of people and having this negative attitude toward other people is not normal. I mean, you don't realize how much of an aberration it is in America until you leave the country and go to a country like Colombia or something. Mm-hmm. And it's just so eye-opening. I mean, the first day I was in Russia, a girl approached me in the museum and started being... It was surreal. I thought I was dreaming or something. I mean, I just didn't see how that could be possible. I mean, it just doesn't happen in the U.S. that a stranger would approach you. And, I mean, you just think you're dreaming. It's just too hard to believe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's completely different. And it makes you feel really good. And, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, some people will say, oh, my goodness, so, you know, you need to go to another country just to meet, you know, women, you know, or you need to, you know, have your ego stroked, you know, or, you know, because like, oh my goodness, you just need to, you know, you need to feel accepted. So, you know, your...
It seems like Americans like to judge people and tear them down, and it's very toxic, you know.
It is very toxic, you know, but it has nothing to do with that. It's just, see, that's the thing. A lot of Americans really don't know anything about the world. So when you explain these things to them, it's, you know, they don't understand where you're coming from, because a lot of Americans just don't have that desire to see the world or to experience other cultures and, you know, meet people from other countries. It comes from the mindset that we have everything and we don't need to go to any other country, and every other country is a hellhole. Why would you want to go there? And, you know, if you meet women from there, they're only going to try to use you. You know, it just comes from an ignorant mindset. And so, they're not really going to understand that, you know, when you say, well, you know, I met some girls and they were extremely friendly and we went out dancing, and it's like, oh, well, they're up to something. They want to use you. They just want to get a green card. And just all these really cliche remarks. And like you said, it's not like that. Women from other countries are just genuinely friendly, and they look forward to meeting people from other cultures. You know, it was like that in Dominican Republic. It was like that even, you know, in Morocco. It was like that in Mexico. Women from other countries are warmer. And that's just the fact. That's just the way it is. You know, it's not to say that there are no friendly women, because this is where you have to be politically correct. It's not all American women. We can't say that. But the great majority, I would say a lot of American women are just not all that warm. They're not. And so this is what makes it, you know, difficult trying to meet women, as opposed to meeting women in you know, a country such as Colombia, you know, where most of the women are extremely friendly and very approachable. And they show that. They show it in their eye contact. You know, like I was saying, you know, we experienced that in Bogota. We experienced it in Cali. You know, then when we went to Medellin, we experienced the same thing. Then we went to Cartagena. I mean, I had a few chances with a couple girls there. You know, actually, one girl that I want to talk to, I actually want to make a personal trip just to go back to talk to her, you know, take her out, like just hang out with her, is a girl from Cartagena. She works at a restaurant called Beirut. And it was definitely on with her. I mean, I was getting a lot of eye contact from her. You know, we went in there to eat, and he went to the bathroom, and you know, she came out from the back, I guess from the kitchen, and I was like, oh my goodness, look at this girl. And it was just on from there. She was her and the girl that she was working with, they kept looking at me, smiling, you know, they kept doing it, you know, and I was looking at them, and I was, you know, making eye contact with them, and it was just so on, Winston. So I mean, wherever we went, we saw that women were very, very warm, very approachable. They gave lots of eye contact, you know, and it made you feel relaxed. That's it. It just made you feel very relaxed, you know, and it's like, well, if I wanted to go talk to her, I feel good about it. You know, I'm not going to feel awkward. You know, I even remember a girl when we were walking to go to the restaurant, it was a girl working. She was working at a restaurant, and people were sitting out there watching a soccer game. And this girl was my type too. She was nice looking, nice brown skin, just beautiful, naturally beautiful, no makeup, jet black hair, you know, really nice face. And she was out there working, and so we stopped and we're watching a little bit of the soccer game. So she came over and just started chatting me up. And, you know, before you know it, she was like, oh, wow. She was like, you know, she asked me where I was from. And then she was like, wow, you speak Spanish so well. And I said, thank you. And, you know, and she had this look in her eyes like, I could see that she was attracted to me. And, you know, and it felt good, you know, it felt good. You know, it didn't feel awkward. You know, she just, you know, like I said, it was something, you know, it was, well, before, you know, before she came up to me, obviously, I mean, there was something about me that said, yeah, you know, something, you know, he seems friendly, you know, but at the same time, she, you know, she was very warm, and that's the reason why she approached me, because she was very warm, and like I said, you know, the people are very curious, so she came over and, you know, was asking me where I was from, and so forth, and before you know it, you know, I'm telling her, you know, I'm speaking to her in Spanish, and she's like, wow, you speak Spanish so well, and, you know, and so, you know, she showed that, you know, she, you know, I could see that she was very warm. You know, she was very friendly, you know, and she saw the same thing in me. And that's a good thing. And see how the interaction was very natural. Very natural. You know, there it wasn't like, well, if I go talk to this guy, he's going to try to get my number. No, it's just, look, we're human beings on Earth. You're curious to maybe know where I'm from. I'm happy that you approached me because I'd like to talk to you and meet somebody new. And everybody's happy. And that's all it is. It's just this. Let's just keep things natural. But you know, that's one of the things that, you know, American women can learn from women from other cultures, is that be natural, be friendly, be you know, relax. Just because a guy's talking to you does not mean that he wants to have sex with you, or he wants to get your number, or it doesn't mean any of that. You know, what if a guy just genuinely just wants to just talk to a girl? But this is not, women here don't think like that, and this is why you have so many problems with meeting women. So, so that's that, Winston. I mean, that you know, I call it the Colombian adventure. It was great, you know, and we got to observe things that, you know, that tell us that, you know, there are some serious social problems in the United States. Serious problems. And
yeah, you know, you don't realize that until you go overseas, it seems. And I know what you're talking about. It seems like it's one of those things where, you know, you have to experience it to really understand it. Because words can only do so much, you know.
Yeah.
You have to really experience it to really know, you know, because words are limited. Words can't describe experiences that well, you know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, you have to be there. You have to be in the country and experience it up close and personal. You know, it's just, that's just the way it is. I mean, so all those who have something bad to say about Colombia or any other country, you know, my words to them would be, you know, have you been there? And if you say no, I haven't been there, then you have no right to say anything about it. You have no right to make any negative comments about it. And so, like I said, you know, anybody who has anything bad to say about Colombia, I'm here to say the total opposite, that it is one of my favorite countries. And if I had to live somewhere, I would live in Colombia. You know, I said I'd live in Mexico, but I think I blend in very well with Colombian culture. And, you know, because it's a mixed society. You know, it's mixed, you know, you have, you know, blacks, and then you have blacks mixed with Amerindian blood. Then you have those who are mestizo. And yes, and then you have some that are of European descent, but they, you know, they have a different look. You know, they have a different look, you know, darker features. You know, they don't look, of course, they don't look Anglo. They just look, just have a different look, you know, because, I mean, if you're in Bogota, you will see people of European descent. They look more white. But at the same time, I think most of the people in Bogota are mestizo. And then if you go to the coast, you know, you'll find, you know, blacks mixed with, or blacks, you know, you'll find, you know, black with, mixed with Amerindian, you know, Cali. Cali was a mix. It was a mix of, I saw, you know, women who look very Amerindian. Then you could see some that look Amerindian and black. And then you saw some that were of European descent. It's just it's a heavy mix in Cali. I really like Cali. You know, so yeah, I think, you know, if I were to move to Latin America, I would definitely move to Colombia. that would be the place for me.
So, I mean, how is it racially? I mean, is it good for white people and Asian guys too, or?
If you're Asian, you might. I don't see what, you know, how you couldn't, or why you wouldn't be able to meet women if you're Asian. Because some of the people, you know, some of the people have that look. Some of them, like I know in Peru, there's a lot of women, or a lot of people who are mixed with Asian, because during the Asian diaspora, there was an influx of Asians in that region. So, you will find, you know, like, you know, in the Andean region, you will find people who have that look. You know, they have those types of eyes. You know, like, you know, the Asian look. You know, they have that look. So,
Well, do you see any like racial segregation or social class segregation or economic class segregation or anything like that? Or
In Colombia, those at the top, those who hold all the power, are those of European descent or Spanish descent. Those that are impoverished are usually those of African descent, maybe in the Choco region, that's near the Pacific. You'll find, in parts of, on the coast, Cartagena. But I think for the most part, I would say.
So, but it's very inclusive, right? There's not like a.
Yeah, it's very inclusive.
Is there racial segregation or?
Yeah, I mean, there. I can't really speak for all, because I don't really know.
I mean, it's not like Los Angeles where, you know, the Asians are in one area and hang out with only other Asians and whites with other whites. And
no, it's not like that. No, from what I saw, no, it's not like that. No, I mean, it's very inclusive. You know, you can see a black guy, you know, with a light skinned Colombian girl, you know, that's common. You can see a mix. You know, you see blacks hanging out with white Colombians or mestizo, or, you know, but in terms of like, you know, racial segregation, I really don't see that. Like I said, I mean, I've only been to what, 4 cities. You know, in Colombia, but I don't think so. I really don't think it's like that. I highly doubt it. Like I said, I mean, from what I've seen is that blacks, you know, I see a mix. I see people of different ethnicities hanging out together. You know, I saw black guys with light-skinned Colombian women. So I don't really think that's a problem, but I do know, economically, blacks are at the bottom. You know, like I said, you know, in the western part, in the Choco region, you know, you'll find blacks who are, you know, impoverished, and it's just, you know, not the highest standard of living there. It's more poverty. They say it's actually, I was told that in the Choco region that it's actually dangerous there. I'm pretty sure maybe some parts of on the coast, but for the most part, I think, it's more an inclusive society. And
at least socially, yeah.
Socially, yes, socially, and but yeah, like I said, economically, yeah, I mean, those at the top are those of Spanish descent or European descent, but like I was trying to say earlier, that, you know, I don't know everything about Colombian, you know, the history of, you know, you know, just different aspects of it, you know, just about, you know, socially, economically. You know, I can't really, you know, give you an in-depth, you know,
yeah, well, what you've told us so far is really amazing. And now, what about the cost of living there? I mean, how much is like a meal at a restaurant or a hotel room? I mean, can you give us an idea about that?
Now, I stay in hostels whenever I travel. So, I mean, start off with that. If you want to stay at a hostel, you can stay at a hostel, a basic one. We stayed at one. The one we stayed at in Bogota was like, I believe it was it $8 a night? I think it was $8. $8 or $9
cheap.
Yeah. What, I'm sorry?
That's pretty cheap. I mean, that's cheap.
Yeah, it's
cheap. Average.
Yeah, it's cheap. Yep, cheap.
What about like
there was some other
were the costs and the prices pretty low? I mean,
yeah. You know, or I was going to say that there's some other hostels in the area we stayed in called the Candelaria, and there were some better, you know, better hostels where, you know, you had better showers and it was just better. You know, you had, you know, internet, you know, you had the internet. I mean, we had the internet at the hostel we stayed at, but it wasn't working. And, you know, so, but I know at the other one called the Messiah, that was a really nice one. That was only, I wasn't too far from where, you know, the hostel I'm staying at, but, that one is like a little bit more. I think maybe with that one, it might be, I'm guessing it could be $20 a night, something like that, or maybe $17.
What was the average price of like a meal at a restaurant or a cafe or a canteen?
For a meal, it was trying to think here. I know I went to one that wasn't too far from the hostel. I had chicken. I had an arepa, and came with fries. Came with skillet. And I think that was about, and a drink came with it. I think I had mango. I think it was, I think it was $8, something like that, for all that. Mm-hmm. Something like that. I'm trying to think here. It was, it was like $8. Yeah, and then I'm trying to think here, some other place. Well, there were some other places that were more expensive. Like we went to a Middle Eastern restaurant where you could get a shawarma. I'm not sure if you know what shawarma is. It's kind of like
I know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, shawarma. Yeah. So we ate shawarma. The shawarma, I can't remember, but it wasn't too bad. You got a meal. We had a meal with that. So it was. I'm thinking here. I'm trying to think if it was. I don't know. Maybe that was about $8. But most places that we went, like in all the cities that we went to. Most meals were about $5. We had Chinese food in Medellin. That was pretty cheap. I think that was, I got chicken and chicken and rice. And I believe it was like $6 maybe. I think it was like six. No, it's not bad. No, because we actually ate that. We were in Medellin. I think we were there for, what, two days? Yeah, I think we were there for 2 days. And I ate that for breakfast because, you know, I'm a big eater anyway. So when I woke up, I was starving. So, and you got so much. So I went, you know, we went and ate that for breakfast. And, yeah, I think it was only like $6. And that filled me. That filled me for the, you know, for most of the day. And because it was just so much there. But it was like $6, and then we went, you know, we went to when we were in Cartagena. There was a place right next to the hostel that we're staying at. The meal, I believe that was, I think it was $5, $4 or $5, and you know, free refills for iced tea. Oh, the iced tea was so good, and you got rice, you got salad. And you got chicken, but that was great. So,
did the food taste healthy? I mean, without processed ingredients like America, I mean, was it healthier?
very healthy, very healthy, very basic. Like I said, I mentioned I ate rice a lot. I mean, everywhere we go, you have rice and chicken, very basic. It wasn't, a bunch of salt or any of that in it. Colombian food is not all that great, but it was, to me, it's healthy. It's healthy. It's just very basic. You know, they just, like I said, the rice and the chicken and the salad, and a lot of meals you get French fries. There's something else that you can get called this, what's the salchipapa? Is the French fries and the sausage together. I saw that a lot of places. But then, you had, trying to think here, like I said, Medellin had Chinese food. You had, they're the types of foods that, that they make.
Is their food similar to Mexico?
Not really. I think Mexican food is a lot better. I think Mexican food is a lot more creative, a lot more flavorful. But Colombian food, it was healthy. It was healthy. And
at least it was natural food, right?
Natural food, yes. It was natural. Yeah, natural.
Without all those processed ingredients and mm-hmm. MSG and sugar and all that.
Yeah, everything, yeah, very natural. And they don't have all that crap in it. And, just being on the street, they sell fresh fruit in it for 50 cents. You could get a cup. You could get like a cup of pineapples or mango, let me see what they had. Mango, pineapple. What else they have? They had some other fruit. Oh yeah, then they had strawberry. All this fresh fruit and kiwi. They all this fresh fruit and for 50 cents. So I would get up in the morning, sometimes even before I would like eat a big meal, I would eat that like while we're walking. I would just get some fruit and just get that. It was only 50 cents. So wherever you go, wherever we went, it was in every city. They just had fresh fruit and it was just, I was like, this is great. It's just so great. And so I was eating a lot of fruit. I was drinking a lot of water. I was, eating some good hearty meals, some rice, some chicken, some salad, so really couldn't complain. You can't complain. All the food was, it was natural.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you are what you eat, so it's important to have, to be in a country where the food is natural, so, you can eat healthy and remain in optimum health. And you just don't get that in America because it's so hard to eat healthy in America. Most of the food is so unhealthy, and it's hard to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, it is. So, can't complain with the food there. And
have you been to any other countries besides Colombia? If so, which ones, and what was that like?
Mexico. I was there for 5 weeks when I was in college. I studied abroad there for 5 weeks, and that was an amazing experience. Really love Mexico. Love it. Guanajuato, Guadalajara. That's where I was. Guadalajara. I had the chance to go to Puerto Vallarta. Very nice coastal city. Beastly hot, but very nice. So that was a great experience. There for 5 weeks. Spent a lot of time in the Dominican Republic. I got the chance to live there for 4 months. I was studied abroad there. And the experiences that I had there are the same as I had in Colombia. I met a lot of nice people. It just really made it a very memorable experience. Even to this day, I think about, my mind goes back to the Dominican Republic. I think about the people I met and the things that happened while I was there, all the girls that I met, and so it was great. The people, like I said, it's the same way. I mean, it's wherever you go in Latin America, it's pretty much going to be the same. I mean, the people are very warm. It's just the culture. It's very warm. People are very friendly. That's just the way it is. Very warm, very, very friendly, curious. You know, people will, you know, like I met one girl at the university, you know, she took me out to lunch one day, you know, and I started hanging out with her and hanging out with her and her friends. And, I mean, she treated me like she had known me for years. And so, I met some other girls there at the university, and, you know, everybody just treated me with open arms. And that's why my mind goes back to that, is because I miss that. I miss being, you know, in a place where, you know, people are really friendly, you know, and approachable and warm, you know, and there's no awkwardness, you know. Anywhere I've been in Latin America, I've never felt awkward about talking to people, you know, approaching people, you know. I just felt like I could immediately be myself. And that's a great feeling, because that's what everybody wants. I think everybody wants to just be able to be themselves with whoever they're with, you know, because people do fear being judged and, you know, being perceived a certain way. And you kind of have that, you know, I deal with it to a certain extent, I should say. I deal with it to a certain extent with people you meet here, because people here are very judgmental, and I just feel like certain people may not get my personality, you know, especially people who conform. They may see me as, I don't know, they just don't, they may not be able to get me. So, it's a good feeling, you know. It was a good feeling when I was in Latin, you know, or Dominican Republic. I just felt like my true personality could immediately come out with the people that I met. And it did. It did. Immediately came out, because I felt that they were authentic. And I feel as though I'm a very authentic guy. You know, I don't sit around judging people. You know, I've even been told that people love talking to me because they feel comfortable talking to me, because I think they can sense in me that I'm not judging them, you know. And so I felt that way when I was in Latin America. I felt as though people weren't judging me. You know, it was just like, I think it blew their minds that, you know, I wasn't Dominican, because a lot of people thought I was Dominican. And then when I spoke Spanish, they were like, no, you're not Dominican, but you speak Spanish so well. And it was like, oh, you're American. It was like, yeah. It was like, then they would ask, like, how did you learn Spanish? And so, and I guess even speaking Spanish, I feel more comfortable. I feel like I can relax more. And so, just being there, you know, in a culture that's very warm and meeting people who are very authentic and friendly, you know, my true personality was able to shine. And, you know, opposed to being in my own country where, you know, I'm selective with who I let see, you know, who I allow to see my true personality, you know. And because with certain people I meet, I'm just kind of quiet, you know, until I get to, you know, really, you know, until I warm up and really, you know, I feel comfortable talking to them. I just kind of, I have to remain reserved, you know, kind of, you know, just kind of to myself.
Yeah, there's something in America that just makes you feel withdrawn. I don't know what it is. It's hard to explain. It's like I'm naturally outgoing too, and I want to be myself. But in America, you just feel withdrawn. And I don't know if because the vibe outside is of other people is rubbing off on you, or you just feel that negative energy that makes you do that, or It's like you can't be yourself in America as much. And, you know, whereas you can in Colombia or Russia, which is where I went. And, like I said in my articles, being able to be yourself is the ultimate meaning of freedom. You know, that is the ultimate definition of freedom, to be able to be yourself and feel comfortable doing things around people.
Thank you. Exactly, Winston. Exactly. Yep. That's what it is. That's what true freedom is. to be able to feel relaxed enough to just be yourself and just let your true personality out, let your true thoughts and feelings out without feeling like you're going to be judged or frowned, you know.
Yeah, and that's never discussed in America, you know. In America, when people talk about freedom, they mean freedom of speech or freedom to go out and get a job, you know. That's the only freedom they think matters, and they don't understand that freedom to be yourself is actually the most important. It's root. It's fundamental.
Yeah. It definitely is. I mean, even you have, you know, now the thing is, you know, people, there are some people that would refute that. They would say, well, Winston, you know, this is a free country, and you are free to be who you are, because, you know, you see people who express themselves in art, or they express themselves in writing, or they express themselves in the way they dress, you know, well, Winston, you know, well, we live in a country where, you know, people are not going to be, you know, they're not going to be thrown in jail for wearing a certain type of attire, you know, or, you know, saying, you know, something that against the government, or for getting a tattoo, you know, something like that, you know. So, but what I'm getting at, Winston, is that this individualism, you know, people say, well, like that, you know, it's like, well, you know, people, you know, we live in a country where you are free to do all the things that you want, Winston. What do you mean, Winston? What do you mean that, you know, people here don't have, you know, total freedom to do whatever they want? You know, but it's really
how would you solve that oxymoron then?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because you look at people who, like, this, there's a fad now with getting tattoos, okay? You know, and some people, that's why I said, some people will say, oh, well, Winston, you know, we live in a country where people can do this freely and they can express themselves in the way they want. But this is more about conforming. It's not about being in the, you know, individualism, okay? It's about conformity.
Well, I think, you know, with you and me, the freedom to be ourselves that we want is, it's more socially based. It's like we want to be free to socially connect with people and talk mm-hmm. to women and to meet girls
right.
and have right. relationships with girls. You know, to us, that's freedom. That's, you know, that's the kind of freedom we're looking for, not the freedom to get a tattoo or to go out and look for a job or something.
Right, exactly.
It's a social freedom where you can be yourself around other people and feel accepted and feel liked and feel appreciated, especially by women, you know. I mean, in other countries like Colombia, women appreciate men, and mm-hmm. that gives you a freedom to be yourself, you know.
There you go.
You know, that's my definition, and I think this just doesn't get talked about, you know, very much. It's like in America, you're free to consume. That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be a consumer. You're free to go to Walmart and buy whatever you want, you know,
right,
and that's
right.
the meaning of freedom. They don't, you know, America doesn't get this kind of freedom, the social freedom, the freedom of connection with other people.
Thank you.
Exactly. I get the sense that, you know, that Americans don't really want to connect. You know, they just want to be consumers.
Yeah.
And that's really sad, you know, because people like you and me care about connecting with others. And it's like the culture, the American culture doesn't care about those things.
They don't, and that's a great point. That's, you know, that's what I was going to get to, is that, you know, we desire to socialize and be able to just have our real personalities come out. And like I said, mine does, but it's not with everybody. You know, it's you know, because I feel like I live in a culture where most people conform, and it's hard to connect with people who conform because they're not very authentic. And so I don't feel free to do that. And at the same time, like connecting with a woman, you know, I don't have that freedom, you know, to just talk to a girl that I'm interested in. You know, it has to be about, you know, I have to meet her through friends or,
yeah,
you know.
You can't even tell a girl that she's beautiful or that she has a nice dress.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't.
I mean,
yep.
It's crossing the line.
crossing the line, but this is a country where they say, you know, this is a land of free, and freedom is just not about, you know, being able to, you know, get a tattoo, or being free to express yourself in art or music or wherever, or type of, you know, like I said, type of attire. You know, it that's not what freedom is, or freedom of speech, you know, or freedom to get an education. It's not just that, you know, it's the freedom to be who you are. Like, if you want to meet a girl and you see a girl that you're interested in, you know, you should have that freedom to be able to approach her, okay, and tell her that she's beautiful, or, you know, just to express your interest. But see, now, it's backwards. If you tell a girl, and I don't recommend that, approaching a girl and telling her that she's beautiful, because it's just our twisted culture perceives that as being, you're up to something. So you can't do that in this culture. It's pretty sick, because you may genuinely want to go and tell that girl that she looks nice or she has a beautiful smile, okay? But since it's frowned upon in this culture, you don't have the freedom to do that, because it's going to be perceived as a negative. You know, it's a negative thing to do that. You know, so this is what you're dealing with, and so yeah, we don't really have the necessary freedoms that we should have, you know, as such as something like that, you know, as, you know, making somebody happy by saying, you know, giving her a compliment, saying that, you know, you, oh man, I really like that dress you have on, you know, it looks beautiful, you know, or I just wanted to come over and just tell you, you know what, I was looking at you, you know, from over there, and I just wanted to come over and tell you, you have a beautiful smile, you know, not to say you can't do that. I mean, you can, but I'm telling you, in a lot of cases, you'll find women that will frown out that. And, you know, it's just not
put up defenses immediately, saying, oh, it's the guy trying to hit on me, and it's creepy, and, or even if she's not afraid to talk to you, you know, she's still going to brush you off because she has to go somewhere else and has other things to do and just doesn't have the time or interest to meet you, you know.
Exactly. So,
everything's business. So people only talk when it's business. And, and so people are always in a rush to get somewhere, you know.
Definitely.
That's the kind of vibe. I mean, there's just no social connection. And this is such a deep topic, because, you know, it's hardly ever talked about. Even in the alternative media, they don't talk about these kind of things. Everyone talks about economics, politics, wars. Nobody talks about social connection or dating or just the social culture.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty sad, because this, we are social beings, and we all desire to socially connect with other human beings. That is a great desire of everyone. I mean, everybody wants to be able to connect with somebody and you know, laugh and talk about different things. And like I said, they want to be able to, you know, not worry about being judged. You know, you want to just be able to be relaxed and just be yourself, you know. And but I don't know where this has come from, but it is, you know, it's blatant, very, very blatant. And it's I don't see how anybody could not see it. And I know people, and I mean, I even have coworkers who have made comments about, the United States being a cold culture. I had a coworker who went to Jamaica. She went to Jamaica. Let me see here. She went to Jamaica. What was it? About 2 weeks ago. Yeah, she went. Yeah, and so when she came back, she was just saying, you know, she was like, man, the people are so friendly. And just so nice, and
yeah. So even mainstream people will see this when they travel. I mean, it's so obvious.
Yeah. You know, she was like, yeah. She told me something. She said to one person, and while she was there, and I was like, wow. I was like, you know, was like, you just said something like that here, you know, you could have had a frown. She was like, yeah. She was like, you know, people here would have been like, what? You know, like, you know, that's just not accepted. But, yeah, so she saw the difference. She's like, yeah, the people are so warm and, you know, she did say, she's like, the people here are just so, like, you know, can be cold and standoffish. And I said, exactly, you know, I told her exactly. I said, you know, because we talked about, you know, I had to bring in Colombia. I told her, I was like, when I went to Colombia, you know, I was like, the people are just, you know, just very, just down to earth, very warm, authentic, you know, and that's it. I mean, but so my point is, people do see, you know, people see it, and you know, you can't be politically correct about it. You can't, because it's a fact. You know, most people don't know their neighbors. You know, we're just a very cold culture. We're isolated, and I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it, you know, just our the region, you know, because we border Mexico and Canada to the north, but I mean, Canada, yeah, I mean, they have Quebec, but for the most part, it's pretty much the same, you know. Mexico, yes, Mexico, but I mean, we don't really have contact with other cultures, just, you know, the way, you know, as if you were, you know, living in, let's say, Spain, you know, you're surrounded by Portugal and France, or, you know, Morocco to the south, you know, it's not like that. So, you know, we're a very lonely, isolated culture. And I think that may be a reason why we're so ignorant about the world and so cold and can be very suspicious about people from other cultures and, you know, view other cultures as being inferior to the United States. You know, it's a lot there, but, you know, I don't see it getting any better.
Yeah, and you know, you don't realize these things until you start traveling more, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, when you went to Latin America, I mean, did you need a visa to get in, or did they give you a visa and when you entered, and how long was the visa for?
No, I didn't have to get a visa, no. The first time I went, all I needed was my birth certificate. The first time I went was September of 2004. Second time I went back May of 2005, and then I went back to study abroad August of 2005.
So do they give you a visa or a stamp, and how long can you stay? I mean,
the tourist visa, I believe, is what, 90 days? Or I'm sorry, no, for me, for because I was there for 4 months, so I had a I don't even remember. I'm trying to think here. Yeah, because a regular tourist visa is 90 days, but I was there for 4 months. So I think I'm trying to think.
So you must have extended it then, right?
I can't remember what I did. I can't remember. I can't. I guess.
Are we talking about Colombia?
Say it again.
Are we talking about Colombia?
No, Dominican Republic.
Okay. What about Colombia though? I think that's a bigger hotspot.
Colombia? No, you don't need. The tourist visa is 90 days.
And can you extend that, or?
I'm trying to think here. Can you extend it? I'm not sure if you can extend it. The only thing you could do is leave the country, go somewhere else, maybe go to Ecuador, and then come back.
Oh, so you could just take the bus to a neighboring country and then come back and.
Yeah.
Yeah, Europe is like that too. You know, you just take a bus and go to a neighboring country and then come back. It's. Pretty convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I don't speak Spanish and I go to Colombia? Would I only be limited to, like, the capital city or tourist areas? Or?
Let me see here. If you don't speak Spanish, I mean, yeah, I would have to say. I mean, because if you go out to. I mean, if you go to Cali or Medellin or any other city, like I said, I mean, you can meet people who speak English, but if you don't speak Spanish, you might be limited to like maybe Bogota, and even a lot of people in Bogota really don't speak English. It being a more intellectual city, you'll find a lot of people who do speak it. You know, I mean, it's the capital, so. Yeah, I would have to say you would probably be limited to there, or maybe.
Yeah, it seems like in capital cities, there's the highest concentration of English speakers.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, it would. I mean, if you wanted to go, I mean, I would say you could brush up. Maybe.
What if you like just, you know, download a language translation app in your cell phone or your smartphone, and just use that anywhere you go? I mean,
you could do that. I mean, I would say get some practice in, and you know, learn some basics. I mean, look, the human brain is a lot more, you know, powerful than a computer or some app that you can have on your phone. I mean, because what I'm getting at is that if you practice, let's just say, you know, you learn some numbers and you learn some basic words like, you know, for transportation and food, you know, and you start using those words, you know, you'll remember them. You will remember. And now you can maybe have like a little book on you just to make sure you can glance at it. But, you know, if you practice, if you plan your trip out, and let's just say maybe 4 or 5 months in advance, okay, and you start learning the basics, you start learning your numbers, you start learning some foods, okay, you start learning, you know, words for transportation, okay, and you may practice with somebody, you know, that speaks Spanish, okay, by the time you get there, you'll know, you know, of course you're not going to be fluent, but you will know how to maybe order, you know, something to eat. You know, you'll know, you know, you'll recognize certain words, you know, for, you know, getting around the city. You'll know how to, you know, ask for the bathroom, where's the bathroom, you know. So it'll be very basic. So, you know, yeah, can you use the app, the phone app? Yeah, sure. You can use it. You can use, like, me. You can have, like, a little phrase book on you, but I just
phonic translator, yeah,
something like that. But I think that you know, if you take the time out to learn the necessary words, you will be able to get by, you know, somewhat comfortably. You know, you just gotta give yourself some time, and that's it.
How did you learn Spanish, though? Did you learn it by yourself in school, or?
Yeah, pretty much. I taught myself. I guess I can say, you know, I have a. I guess, you know, I just have a talent for it. You know, I kind of figured out things on my own. How to learn it, you know, and I figured out a system that works best for me. You know, so you know, I have an understanding of memory. And it's, I mean, it was kind of like common sense, you know, like, and I know everybody doesn't, you know, I know everybody's not going to think like that, but at least with me, you know, I saw it as like common sense. I, like, for example, I would say, all right, well, you know, if you're learning another language, translating is not good. I mean, yeah, you can maybe be able to use it, translating. You know, if you learn a word for water, you know, in Spanish is agua, okay, and that's fine. But my thing is, as soon as I started learning, I was like, well, the common sense thing would be the same way you learned the same way you learn English. You didn't translate anything when you're learning English, so do the same thing with Spanish. So if you're learning a word for agua, or learning the meaning of agua, look at water, pick up a bottle of water and say it, agua. Or, you know, when you're in the shower, say, you know, I'm taking a shower with agua, you know. So that's what I'm saying. Make the association, you know, don't translate, make the association. And so, you know, my point is that I just saw learning a language, just it came very naturally to me, because I saw it as, you know, just a lot of, you know, a lot of things that I was learning, or the way I was learning, was kind of like common sense to me. And so, but from there, I got, I started testing out different methods, trying to understand memory a lot better, what really makes words stick in your long-term memory, what makes you retrieve words, what makes you retrieve words, naturally, or instantaneously, when you're in a situation where you're speaking a language, what is going to make you retrieve that word without thinking about it, got curious about that, how memory works. And so, that's why I would say, I don't recommend, or in my method, I didn't try to focus too much on translating, taking a word and saying, oh, well, this means this in English. Well, that can help. That can be a crutch. But when you start to dive deeper into that word, it's not about translating it, because, like I said, you want to be able to, like right now, the way I'm speaking now, I'm just speaking naturally. There's nothing, I'm not translating anything. I'm not saying in my mind, all right, this and now this means this. No, I'm just speaking. So that's the same. Those are the same results that you want to get in a language that another language that you're learning. So, I want to be able to. I knew that I wanted to be able to speak Spanish fluently. I wanted to be able to, just speak it in a natural, a natural way, and not try to sit there and try to think of these. Of the translation all the time, because that's not language, that's not speaking. So, so I try to always focus more on the meaning of the words and using the words in context, and being able to, and looking for situations where I can use the word that, because that experience becomes an association, then your mind over time, your mind knows instinctively when to use that word. It's because you've actually used the word, you've associated it with its meaning, the situations where you use the word. And so when you're actually in that situation, your mind will, instinctively know, how to use that word. You'll use it naturally, without thinking about it. And that's what you want. So, I had a lot of patience with it too. So you need patience, you need motivation. It's not so much, just, oh, well, I want to learn this language. You have to really dedicate yourself to it. But in your case, going back, you said, well, what if I go to Colombia, do I need to learn Spanish? Well, it would be good for you to know Spanish. It would. It really would. And Spanish is not a, people like to say, oh, well, it's not a difficult language. It's not. It's not a difficult language, but there are, every language, presents its difficulties. And Spanish will have its difficulties because you have to say things in a certain way. But if you don't, people will still understand you. They'll still understand you. So I never like to belittle a language saying, oh, well, it's really easy, because, every language takes time and effort to really learn how to speak it, to speak it, well. And so, but at the same time, there are aspects of Spanish that makes it easier to learn if you already speak English as your first language. So it naturally came easy to me. But if you go to, if you have a desire to go to Colombia or anywhere in Latin America, Spanish will definitely help, of course, because you can't expect everybody to speak English, and especially like Colombia. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're going to go to Colombia, I would say to learn Spanish, fair at a basic level. Just get to a basic level, and you can get to a basic level in 5 months. You can, practice, 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 because the more you practice, the faster you're going to be able to retrieve words in real situations where you need those words. And so, I would recommend it.
Yeah, well, that's really good advice. I mean, you seem to be good with languages, and I hope that inspires people, because, I mean, you seem like a very down-to-earth, ordinary person, and I hope people will see that, if you can learn Spanish and pull this off and go to Colombia and experience, this better dating life, then, other people can too. I hope this sends a good message and a good inspiration, and that gives people hope, and mm-hmm. Guys out there, in our situation need that hope. And anyways, we're coming to 2 hours now in this interview.
Maybe
in the last part, you can tell us what your future plans are and some final advice you want to give to the guys listening to this, or the people listening to this, or whatever.
For the future, my plans would be, I would love to go back to Colombia, or I really want to go to Peru. Definitely want to go to Peru. Actually, that's where we were supposed to go to first, but long story with that, in the process of waiting for his passport, the ticket went up. So we had to scratch that off, and so we decided to go to Colombia, which was a fantastic decision. And so, sometime in the near future, I would love to go to Peru and definitely, experience the culture there. I already have a friend there that I met online, met her on LAC, and we talk from time to time, and she wants me to come, and so I have a friend down there, so it'd be nice to meet her and experience the Peruvian culture.
What's LEC?
The Latin American Cupid.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
So, that's what I have planned for the future. I'm looking forward to going. As of right now, I'm also trying to establish a location independent job or location independent business. I'm trying to work on it. So much has to go into it,
Like a portable income, right?
Or
you mean like an online business?
Online business, yeah. So, I'm trying to work at that. So that's the goal that I'm heading towards, is trying to establish that, and then also try to get to Peru.
Can you work in Latin America and be an English teacher or something like that?
Yeah, I could do that. That's my ticket out. I really don't want to do that. I'd rather do something different. Something that I'm really passionate about. But that is something I could do. We'll see. I don't know. I prefer to do something else. So.
Because not everyone is cut out to be an English teacher.
Yeah.
A translator or a tutor or something.
Exactly. So.
So do you have any final advice for everyone that's listening, or?
The advice I can give to those who want to listen to this is that if they have a desire to go to Latin America or even any other country that that they're interested in, I would say don't let the language barrier stop you from going, because traveling to another country, it will change you. It will definitely change you. This is where the mindset needs to be. The mindset needs to be that, I want to go to another country to experience another culture. I want to go and see how people live and how people interact and how people respond to me. How do they respond to foreigners? Because traveling is a learning experience. It's a learning experience, and you grow from that experience. So I want to encourage all those who have a desire to go anywhere to do it. You just need to do it. If you do speak Spanish or you speak French or an Asian language, Mandarin or Vietnamese or whatever, do it, or even if you're interested, you're learning it, you want to you want to go there and practice, or a country, a particular country just interests you, do it. You need to do it. You really need to put yourself out there, and just.
How do you overcome that fear of traveling abroad? I mean, some guys must have a fear, probably.
Yeah, some do. It's like, oh man, I really want to go to Japan, or I may want to go to Colombia, or I may want to go to Russia, and it's like, oh man, it's like, I don't know if I could do that alone, you can do it alone, I went to when I first traveled, I went to the Dominican Republic, I went to Spain alone. I went to Spain alone twice. I did that in Morocco twice, alone. I went to Turkey alone. I don't speak Turkish, but the country interested, I was interested in the country, and I wanted to see the people. I wanted to experience Turkish culture. I wanted to see the, the history, and that didn't stop me. I don't speak this language. It's that, no, I'm interested in this country, and I'm not going to let the language barrier stop me from experiencing another culture. So that's what I have to say to, all those who will listen to this, is that, you can do it. You can't let fear paralyze you from experiencing another culture, and from just getting out there and seeing the world. Like I said, by doing that, you're going to learn. You'll learn from that experience. Your confidence is going to be through the roof. I mean, it's like, it definitely has an effect on your confidence, and then you'll see. You have to experience it first. You can't just sit and constantly wonder about it and constantly think, oh, well, what if I do this, or what if this happens? You just have to relax. And just do it. If you find a cheap ticket to Turkey or wherever you want to go, and you have a desire to go there because of, maybe, like I said, maybe you're learning the language, maybe you're just curious about this country because of the history, you just need to do it. Just do it. And you won't regret it. You will not regret it. Because, traveling is, it's a part of personal growth. You learn about yourself. You're going to be able to meet new people from the country. You're going to be able to meet people from other parts of the world, and when that happens, you're going to see like, wow, yeah, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You're going to be able to meet people at the hostel. It's not that bad. So, I hope this can encourage people to do it, because some people, they're looking for encouragement, or they're looking to be motivated. And I'm here to tell, all those who listen, is that, I just put myself out there. I didn't care that, I didn't speak the language, and, I didn't care. Like, when I went to Morocco, I didn't care. I didn't care that I didn't speak Arabic or French. I just went, and I was like, it has to be somebody there that, that speaks English, or, maybe there's some people who speak Spanish, so I just did it. And like I said, I don't regret it. So that's the advice I can give to those who listen, is, don't let fear paralyze you from seeing the world.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes to overcome fear, you have to just not think about it and just do it. Because if you think about it, your mind will, start to get into this fear mode and start to look for excuses not to go, It's better, it's best, it seems, to just do it and not think too much about it.
Yeah.
That's how we overcame the fear of going to Russia, because, I mean, the first time I went to Russia, it was scary. I didn't know what to expect, and the whole notion of it was scary, and so, I had to just do it and not think about it. And it gets easier every time, too.
Yeah, it does. It gets easier, exactly. And like I said, your confidence builds. You become a more confident traveler. It's like, let's just say, for example, you have a desire to go to Brazil, okay? So you go to Brazil, and it's your first time out of the country, and it's just like, I don't know what to expect. I don't speak Portuguese all that well. And then you go and you meet people, and you have a great time, and you feel really comfortable. People make you feel, you know, at home, you know? And when you come back, it's like, man, that was just, that was an awesome experience. And now you're looking to go to somewhere else. But now you won't have that fear, you know, because of that experience you had, you're not going to have that fear. You're going to, you know, you're going to look forward to going to the next country. And when you find that ticket, you know, that whatever, however much it costs, you know, if it's in your price range, you're just like, all right, look, I got this good ticket, this cheap ticket. I'm going to Spain now, you know, so, you know, that's how it's going to be. And it's just, and every time, you know, you go somewhere, you're going to be looking, you know, you're going to be looking to go to, or you're going to be planning your next trip. You know, you're going to be online looking up, you know, tickets, you know, looking up the prices, and like, you know, because now you have that confidence. Now you know it doesn't matter anymore. You've already done it. You have those positive experiences in your long-term memory. And
for a while. Let me try to get him back.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. The call dropped for a while.
So, but yeah, that's what it's going to be like. You're going to be looking up, you're always going to be planning your next trip, and, you know, you're always going to be online looking up, you know, the prices and this and that, because you're just super excited about going somewhere else and having another, you know, great experience. And, yeah, all those who travel the first time, you're definitely going to get the bug. But it's that's the good bug to be bitten by, because it leads to learning about the world and growing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen, thank you for sharing this. I mean, your story with us. I mean, this was a great interview, and your story was very inspiring. And I hope it helps motivate and inspire people to just go abroad, you know, whether it's Colombia or somewhere else. And I think Latin America is a great place to start.
Yeah.
Because it's close by, and it's warm, mm-hmm. and Spanish mm-hmm. is easy to learn, yeah. and it's just yeah. so friendly. And so I think that's a great place to start.
Definitely.
But uh-huh. yeah, thanks for sharing this story with us. I mean, it's very inspiring, and I really enjoyed this interview. And I mean, it's just so authentic and eye-opening what you've told us.
I thank you for having me, and being so I can be able to share my thoughts and experiences, and I enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this this interview.
Yeah, we should talk again sometime. I mean you have a lot to share, and I like your personality. It's very authentic. It's very real, no nonsense, down to earth, and just yeah. You're the kind of person that we like to have, you know, and that makes it credible too, believable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're very believable and very authentic.
Yeah, and that's just me. I like, you know, I'm just I like to come off very real. I don't like to hold back, you know, my thoughts and feelings, and you know, I want people to, you know, to see that. I want them to see my real personality. You know, that's what I, because, you know, you come across so many people who are just very artificial, you know, and it's not good. It's not good for, you know, being able to connect with that person, you know, so.
And that's so common in America, people who are artificial, who are fake, who are full of it, and, you know, it seems like the more down to earth you are, the more of a misfit, the more out of place you are in America,
yeah.
it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for being on, and we'll talk again sometime.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Winston. Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Okay. Well, this is Winston Wu, and I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Happier Abroad podcast, and best of luck to you all. And we'll see you again next time. Bye bye now.